Carol Murphy here again with Heartstock Radio. I'm so glad that you're here, and I am really happy to be here as well because we have a fantastic guest this evening. It's John Michael Antonio, and I cannot wait for you to hear what John Michael's going to share. He's a self-proclaimed male feminist. Perked my ears up. And come back in just a moment, and we'll be talking with John Michael.
Was made for you and me. As I was walking that ribbon of highway, I saw above me that endless skyway. I saw below me that golden valley. This land was made for you and me. I roamed and ran, and I followed my footsteps to the sparkling sands of a diamond dance, and all around me.
So, this is Heartstock Radio, and I'm Carol Murphy, your host. This evening, we're going to be speaking with John Michael Antonio, who is a columnist and editor for thefemininecollective.com. He's joining us from New York City. Hi, John Michael.
Hello.
So this evening, after about 15 minutes, first half of the program, we're going to have a little chat, and then we'll open up the phone lines. Our number to call in and speak directly with John Michael is 406-491-1432. So, male feminist. What is that exactly, John Michael? Tell everybody who you are and what you do.
My name is John Michael Antonio, and amongst other things, right now I am an editor and columnist for the wonderful website FeminineCollective.com. So that's the short answer.
I just love the self-proclaimed title. Tell our listeners, what exactly does that mean? Because, you know, when you hear that, or at least when I heard that, my mind was racing into all kinds of possibilities. What exactly is that?
Well, it starts with there are a lot of definitions of feminism out there bouncing around right now. I like to stick with bell hooks's. Her definition is that it's a movement in sexism, sexist exploitation, and oppression. It started for me by witnessing the things that the women in my life went through, starting by being raised by a single mother, which I've written about for FeminineCollective.com, and seeing basically the trials and tribulations of what women go through in this world. It went on from watching the experiences of my mother to watching the experiences of my two sisters to watching the experiences of my wife, who's the single biggest influence in my life. And basically, as I became a father, wanting to leave a better world for my daughter and my two sons.
Yes,
so
indeed.
Basically, I think it's important that men make the stand. That was the big part of it. The second part of it was seeing the women's liberation movement of the 70s, the images of the ERA movement. And it just always seemed to me to be the right thing to do, to fight for women's equality. And it was just wrong to be on the other side. And by the other side, I mean those who are perpetuating the injustices against women and those who stand by and say nothing.
So typically those who perpetuate, when we say that, we think of privileged white males. And you're white, and you're a male, and
yes.
Just by being so, you have a certain privilege. And
yes.
From that standpoint, you know, standing at the top of the heap, so to speak, and looking out and surveying, you came to this conclusion.
Yes.
That is amazing.
Yes.
Because, you know, so many men who even really think and feel that way are just a little bit afraid of what their male counterparts will say if they speak up. Have you encountered any kind of pushback yourself?
No. The best friend that I've ever had is my wife. It's the best friend that I've always have been women. I've always been somewhat of a free thinker, And it's funny that I bring up the way being raised by a single mother now. I'm watching, when I talk about watching the images of the women's liberation movement and the ERA movement, my mother could not stand those women. She thought today that she didn't know what they were doing, running around, you know. I don't know. I feel the way for feminism, but my feminism and standing up for women's rights the way I feel, similar to racism. Racism to me has always been wrong. I could always see the wrongness of it for discriminating against someone simply because of the nature of the color of their skin. And being born a white male in America, you are constantly barraged with images, with the propaganda that you are better, that no matter what you do or don't do, you are better, that you are, even when you're failures, you are better. Mm-hmm. And I just saw that as something that's wrong, that's patently wrong.
Yes, I hear you. And I feel the same way. So that leads to our next question. You know, we're living in some really interesting times, and many of our guests, I've asked the same question of, how do you feel the current political climate is affecting this movement and affecting women at large?
I see, from my vantage point, I see two main things. First is a fear at the acknowledgement that our government was willing to move backwards, and in some instances, they already have, that they are willing and able to erase the gains that have been made over the last 50 years, be it in reproductive rights or in rights in the workplace. A great example of that was of Donald Trump's revoking of Barack Obama's executive order in 2014, the Fair Pay and Safe Workplaces. That was the executive order. Well, two key parts of that was of a part that said there had to be paycheck transparency and a ban on forced arbitration clauses for sexual assault or discrimination claims. Now, this executive order, obviously, it pertained to anyone that was taking federal dollars or had contracts with the federal government. One of the first things that Donald Trump did was rescind that executive order. So I think that's an example, that's just one example of many, of the fear that somehow our government is willing and able and are going to go backwards. On the flip side, though, I also see a new sense of urgency to be active and vocal. I think a great example of that, maybe the best example of that, was the Women's March of this past January, which was the single biggest national protest in American history. Here at the end of October, there is the Women's Convention, which is being held in Detroit, Michigan, which a lot of the leaders from that movement that was part of that march are convening to somehow harness the power and the activism that was present there to translate that into electoral gains in 2018 and 2020. So there's a flip side. There's two things going on in this country. I think that there's an emboldenment by certain forces to go backwards, but I think there's also new activism that's being inspired by seeing that emboldenment.
So I get the sense that the Feminine Collective is really a site for activism. Is that correct?
It's somewhat. It's founder Julie Anderson. She founded it on in her mission statement. She wanted to tell stories of women, and mostly by women, because she didn't see any other place on the internet that was doing that. So I'm not the only feminist voice on that. I've had discussions with Julie. Julie does not call herself a feminist. She said to me she's a humanist, not a feminist. But there are feminist voices on there. But it's basically, the site itself is basically telling the stories of women from women's point of view. And I'm one of the few male writers on there. But so it does have some activism, some activist writers, but not entirely. Like, I've written a lot of poetry that's been on there, and it's basically been labeled love poetry, but it's from a male point of view, basically celebrating women and their sexuality.
land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream Wars, this land was made for you and me.
Hi, we're back, and we're talking with John Michael. So giving people a voice, I consider that part and parcel to activism. That's like the first front line of activism, is for people to be heard. What are So what are some stories that you can share of important voices that are speaking out on the feminine collective? Go ahead, John Michael.
Yes, my editor-in-chief and the founder of the site, Julie Anderson, was actually a model who walked the runways and was in a lot of magazine covers and then different ads for, say, L'Oreal and Chanel back in the early 90s. She speaks a lot of about the modeling industry. She also speaks of a lot. She's very open about her own bouts or her own fight with depression. Her own, she makes no secret of it. She sees just the struggles of everyday women. There is Dori Owen, who also speaks about just basically growing up as a woman in the 60s and the 70s and the nature of that. There's so many. Stephanie Ortiz writes about being what it is to be a Latina right now in Trump's America, and basically a lot of, she is an immigrant to this country, and she speaks a lot of her pieces relate to what it is to be an immigrant in this country. So there's a lot of them that I don't want to get too deep in there, because I know I'm going to forget somebody, but definitely check out the site for anyone who's interested in that, because there's so many different stories and so many different voices there.
I'd like to touch upon Stephanie Ortiz. You know, that's kind of a double whammy. I have lots of women in my life of color that I greatly admire and love deeply. And can you share maybe a little bit about Stephanie's perspective of what's happening now and how she's pushing back as a Latina?
Yes. You know what? Let me back up again. I think I may be mispronouncing your name. I think it's Stephanie Ortiz. I apologize for that.
Okay.
But it basically, she writes about how you can be, Donald Trump, how you can say, when this country is built upon immigrants, how you can say that immigrants are not welcome here. That's the big article that I can remember. And she also talks about what it is, like I said, the cultural differences of being white in America and being of Hispanic descent in America. Pretty poetically in that sense.
Well, the thing that always confounds my mind is the industry that Donald Trump is in predominantly is fueled by Hispanic workers. You know, everybody knows that most of the maids who clean their rooms, especially in places like, well, all over, but especially in California, I used to live there and just came back from there, are Hispanic women. Not solely, obviously, but so what is Donald Trump thinking when he's going to enact laws that will put even himself out of business? Don't really get that.
Yeah, I don't think Donald Trump thinks. I don't think he did out. I think Donald Trump is 100% for Donald Trump at all times. I don't think he thinks of. I think he is the embodiment of white male privilege at its highest. I'm a white male in America. I was not born into the wealth that Donald Trump was born into. Donald Trump is a rich white male, which is the top of the food chain in America. I think he's lived a life when he's been able to say and do whatever he wants. And even if he sometimes even realizes the consequences, he doesn't care about the consequences. I don't think he thinks about the consequences. I don't think he cares about the wreckage that he causes or that he is going to cause.
Just pushing,
he is who he is.
Yeah, just pushing emotional buttons is my take on it. So you mentioned the 60s and 70s and some of the women that are sharing their experiences back then. And You know, we've talked to, Ellen Crane, for example, who gave us a really good historical perspective and what it was like. And I know that we have made headway. And what is that battle like for those women now who did live through the 60s and 70s and saw us make so much progress? And now here we sit, maybe having to watch those things undone. We talked about that a little bit already, but do you have a take on that?
Yes, I think that I think it's tempting to say that this all started what we're seeing now. It all started with Donald Trump. It didn't start with Donald Trump. In many ways, he is not only a representation of it of those thoughts and those ideas. When I say that, I say in a broad term of the discrimination and the sexism and the misogyny directed against women. He's a culmination of it. It's something that has always been there in American history. It's very tempting to label him, to throw it all on him. But those ideas have been with us. It's hard, the situation with Harvey Weinstein is a great example of it. It's everywhere. Sexism is prevalent everywhere in America. It's really easy to forget that we're still only less than 100 years removed from women getting the right to vote. Both of my grandmothers, my mother was in her early 40s when she had me. So both of my grandmothers were born without the right to vote. They were in their early 20s before they had the right to vote. So yeah, we have made a lot of gains. I know it's got to be kind of surreal to throw out one name, Gloria Steinem, someone like a Gloria Steinem or someone who's been with the movement from the early days to see now, they got to be like, you know, how did we get here? But it's always been here. There's always been gains and pushback, gains and pushback. Mm-hmm. That's why I think it's so important that men get involved, because I think for us to move it forward, men have to get involved. Men have to speak out. Men have to be more vocal. There has to be more white males like myself willing to speak out and willing to take a stand. As not as a director of the movement, as an ally to the movement, but someone who sees it and says, yes, this is wrong. We need to change this.
Well said. We're going to take just a little bit of a music break here. Remember, our call-in number is 406-491-1432. We'll be right back. You're listening to Heartstock Radio. Our call-in number, so that you can speak directly with John Michael, is 406-491-1432, and we'd love to hear your questions. So, John Michael, you are working on a project, Women Who Inspire. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, that's really kind of my pet project right now on 7.com. And basically, Women Who Inspire is a series of interviews by me of women from all walks of life, and it seeks to tell their inspirational stories. It's basically as simple as that. What I'm trying to do with Women Inspire is to create a mosaic of profiles that basically are positive portrayals of women and the inspirational things that they do on a daily basis. And some of these things on the surface may seem bigger than others, but I believe that there's, I believe, like with what Pablo Picasso once said, that there's inspiration everywhere. I see inspiration in women everywhere. There's, to me, there's no, there, it's no mistake that the muses were women. I see inspiration everywhere. And when I say that, I mean in their stories, just their everyday stories. And that was basically what I came up with. I ran the idea past my editor, Julie Anderson, editor-in-chief, and she said, yes, go with it. And one has been on the site already, and I have many, many more coming.
So tell us about some of these women. Can you share a few of the stories?
Sure. I have the ones that I've confirmed already. Some of them have actually already answered my questions. The first one, the profile that the listener will see on the site if they will visit the site, is one of a woman named Jennifer Torgerson, and she is CEO and founder of a company called Milk Stork, which is a company that helps working mothers continue to breastfeed by delivering their breast milk to them. She basically came up with a system to where working mothers are able to access their own breast milk. Another woman that will be coming up shortly is Jennifer Jordan, who is a director of Aeroflow Breast Pumps, and through her company, which is a company she founded through Aeroflow Medical Equipment. Basically, in this company, through her company, she has helped provide thousands of breast pumps to women through the administration of the ACA or Obamacare. Another woman is who just answered my questions is Rizka Ettery, who is a social worker, psychoanalyst, who has written a book about the importance of spirituality and healing from trauma. Two biggest names so far are Aaron Mattson and Pamela Merritt, who are two writers and activists who are also co-founders of a nonprofit organization called ReparAction.org, which is a nonprofit dedicating to fighting for reproduction rights. And let's see, the other big one probably is Valerie Young, who is the author of the book, The Secret Thoughts of Successful Women, which was a book about imposter syndrome, which is basically the syndrome that when women do reach a level of success in this country, there's the feeling that they face sometimes that they don't deserve to be there, or why are they there? That's just a few of the ones that I have coming. That's the ones I can't confirm, but there's many, many, many more to come.
Imposter syndrome, that's interesting. Yeah, I think that we unknowingly sometimes contribute to our own demise just by listening to the rhetoric that we've, you know, myself being raised, coming of age in the 70s, there's a lot to overcome sometimes in your own internal dialogue about how you see yourself. You know, I thought it was really interesting what you said earlier, and I really wanted to touch on this, that your mom really did not like the feminist movement. Did I understand you right?
Yes.
Can you share a little bit about that?
It's a little bit hilarious because she always related to them. I mean, it's me being a young child, adolescent child, her big thing was their focus on burning of their bras. So she would see them come on television and she would always like yell at the television, here come those bra burning women on TV again. I'm looking at it. I see freedom. I see the word liberation. My mindset is my heroes. I count Dr. King and the leaders of the civil rights movement as my heroes. I'm seeing it as part of that. That it's a natural extension of that. It's the same thing. It's the same spirit, especially when the Equal Rights Amendment came out. So we would have, you know, back and forth. But she was also born in the Depression, and she grew up. She had six children. I was the youngest of her six children, and very. Very orderly things of what a woman should do and not should do. Well, and she was tested later in life. She had to go get, this is one of the stories I relate on feminecollective.com. Later in life, when she was in her 50s, she had to go get a job because my father was refusing to pay child support for me and my next oldest brother. So this is a woman that had not worked since the World War II days of being one of the Rosie the Riveters. And she went out, and she basically found the job, and that was really in that article, and that was really the basis of it. Because when I say about male feminism, go back to your first question, it's just that spirit the realization that this society is controlled mostly by males, by the patriarchy, which is what feminists like to call, And it's their choice. When men always have a choice whether they're going to choose good or evil, whether to commit acts of good or acts of evil versus women and versus people of color. And by and large, a large part of the history of this country, white men have chosen, white males have chosen to do evil acts against both groups. And that's where I come in. I refute that. I recognize my white male privilege, I refute it, and I want to use it as a voice to talk about fighting that oppression, and basically that, and some of the oppression that my ancestors participated in.
So, did your mom come around? Did that change her when she finally in the 50s? No.
No, she did not. she did not like him. She did not like the whole notion of the Equal Rights Amendment. She still did not. For her, it was basically an extension of doing what you had to do to take care of your children, which is why it was so hurtful that my father was doing what he did to her, because he knew that's exactly how she felt. She was, in her mind, she was doing what she needed to do as a mother to take care of her children. And that's the thing that gets lost in a lot of the people who are antagonistic against feminism or against even the fight for women's rights. When you discriminate against a woman, when you pay her less on the dollar than a man, you are not only hurting her, you're hurting her family. You're hurting her household. If she's a single mother, you're hurting her and her children. It's not just a female issue. It's just not a woman's issue. It's a societal issue. If we want to become better as a society, we need to make it equal across the board for everyone, because it's not just a woman's issue.
Yes, and that's kind of my motto. We're all in this together. So if one is hurt, we all suffer, is the bottom line.
Yes.
So we've got a couple minutes left. Can you tell folks how to contact you, or maybe they know themselves a woman who inspires that they would like to refer to you?
Oh yes. Well, the first way is the easiest way is probably to look at femininecollective.com. You go to the opening page where it has columns, the drop down, my name will come up, John Michael Antonio. Also, I'm a big fan of LinkedIn. It's currently my favorite social media outlet. You Google John Michael Antonio LinkedIn, I'll come up. I'm on Twitter at TigerMichael100. My direct email is TonyTigerMichael@gmail.com. I would love to talk to anyone about their story. Like I said, that this is my goal is, by the time it's an endless thing, I want to tell as many stories as I possibly can, and it's part of my on my LinkedIn profile. I have that. I consider it part of my life work to uplift and encourage as many females as I can to the use of my written voice, and I just want to do it now till I can no longer write, because I feel I've spent too long myself being silent. I'm not going to be silent anymore.
Mm. Thank you, and you give style advice, I hear.
Yes. Yes, I am a fashionista. My wife and kids will testify to that.
Thank you, John Michael. It's been so fun having you here. And thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll be back next week, same time, same place. This is Carol Murphy, Heartstock Radio. Bye-bye.
Heartstock Radio is a production of KBFM 102.5 Butte America Radio.
This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island. From the Redwood Forest.